My name is Carla Lewis, and I'm the Gainesboro Branch Manager. Today is March 15, 2007. I will be interviewing Ms. Evelyn Bethel, Ms. Helen Davis. Okay, I will start with either one of you young ladies. When and where were you born?
I was born on Patton Avenue Northwest, April 10th, 1928.
And I was born June 5th, 1933, after my parents had moved to Patton Avenue Northeast, which is currently the street that we live on.
Tell me about your parents.
Well, as I remember my parents, they were very good parents. My father worked for the Roanoke Hardware, and my mother worked at Rotskeller Restaurant, and later on she did private household work.
Ms. Davis, tell me about the brothers and sisters that you had.
We had five brothers. Two of them are deceased, and it was seven of us, five boys and two girls, the two of us. And one brother is living in Salem, Virginia, in Big Hill, and the other two are living in Washington, D.C.
Okay, can you tell me the names of your brothers that you're talking about?
Herbert Davis, he lives in Big Hill. Clarence Davis, Curtis Davis, they live in Washington, D.C. And James Davis and Roy Davis are deceased.
Did you have extended family living with you or nearby when you grew up on Patton Avenue?
As I recall, we didn't have any extended family living with us on a permanent basis, but my grandmother came down occasionally. She lived with us. I don't recall any extended family.
Okay, no aunts, uncles?
No.
Okay. Describe your home life. For instance, did you gather around the radio in the afternoons, or do you remember having your first telephone?
We gathered around to listen to the shadow, what evil works in the hearts of man. And of course, that was Joe Louis, you know, he was on the radio, and we were all excited about that.
And we listened to the opera that came on Saturdays. Uh-huh. We always listened to that. I didn't quite understand the language, but the music was so beautiful.
Very good.
I remember.
And can you remember when you got your first telephone, and did you have party lines, or did you have just the one line coming into your home?
We had the one line.
Mm-hmm.
Our telephone number was 4 digits, 8262.
That's right.
And it was a private line. We didn't have a party line.
Okay.
And at that time, people had gossip benches. Because they had one telephone and it was stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And our gossip bench was located in the hallway, which was readily accessible to all rooms in the house.
Okay, now what was a gossip bench?
It's a chair. It's a long chair, and it has an armrest.
And
a little table where you could put the telephone, and that's where the telephone was, and a pad, and it had room under the pad, under the table, to put the telephone book. Telephone books were very skinny then, because not too many people had them.
Okay. What kind of activities did you participate in?
Oh, before we leave the telephone, I have one incident. I was listening to the radio, and it was some sort of quiz, and I heard it, and I ran to the telephone, and I was the first person to win the prize. I can't remember what the prize was, but I was very excited about that. So the telephone was a very good instrument that people used in those days, more so than the cell phone.
Okay. What kind of activities did you two ladies participate
in? Well, we had the YWCA down on
Commonwealth. Yeah, they called it Commonwealth.
At that time it was Walker, and it was very nice. And the ladies taught us adequate, you know, how to do things and the proper way to speak and dress, and it was very interesting. We need that today.
In addition to that, we participated or went to the basketball games, and we had activities. I can remember us jumping rope. Mm-hmm. They call it now Dutch, I think, where double Dutch. That was fun. And during the other holidays, we had activities here at the library. Especially for
Halloween,
they had activities here, Bob and the Apple. They had Grease in the Pole, where the young men would try to climb up the pole and get the gift. Those were some activities that we engaged in. And of course, for Christmas and the other holidays, we had neighborhood sing-alongs, I believe. Getting back to Halloween, speaking of mischievous things, we got soap, and we would put it on people's windows. That was the biggest mischief we had then, was getting soap and marking people's windows.
Were they the windows of people who did not give you candy, or were they just...
they were just people, and especially the Moses store, because they had the wider windows.
Yeah.
We enjoyed that. It I don't see that it was anything detrimental, because the next day all I had to do was go out there and clean the window.
Do either of you remember sitting on the front porch talking to your neighbors after dinner, sharing the evening with people going by or correcting children as they walk by your porch?
We played with the children in the neighborhood. We would sit in front of 19 Patton, and we always thought, they said there was ghosts up on the Catholic. And we would walk around in the dark, and my brothers would leave me. And I would start crying, but we didn't ever have any ghosts up there, but we would tell all sorts of tales. And we played pickup sticks. And that's an interesting game. Kids don't do that anymore. And checkers.
Monopoly.
Yeah, we had that old maid card game. Nobody wanted to be the old maid.
Chinese checkers.
Yeah.
Chinese checkers.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of games that required thinking and some sort of dexterity with your fingers. And it was just fun. I enjoyed it. And one thing we must not forget is the Clater property. We would go up there and play in their yard and roll down the hill. Mm-hmm. Go down the hill, jump up, go up again, just roll down the hill. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. And it was also fun looking at their fish pond. They had a huge
beautiful fish pond.
Mm-hmm. With goldfish and other things in it. And we used to like to look at that.
And they had a huge attic, and we would go up there, and Miss Clayton would let us skate, and you know, it's a huge, and it was just so much fun. We really had fun. And one game that's still around is Monopoly.
Yes, Monopoly is still around.
We play that. That's the only one that I, you know, can recall seeing, you know, recently.
Chinese checkers.
Yeah, Chinese checkers. And the little boys, they had the red wagons, and the little girls, they had the dolls. But I never was a doll favorite, but we just played and made little bracelets out of the flowers, you know, and the necklaces. We would do those types of things.
Okay. What family stories were passed down from one generation to the next generation? And did you hear stories about military or slavery or recipes or just anything that was passed down to your generation and then you continue to pass it to your children, nieces, and nephews?
I don't recall any stories about slavery. I can recall that my father spoke, it's amazing when you're young, you don't pay any attention to your parents. But one year when my husband and I came to visit and we wanted to go to the movie and it was snowing and Daddy wouldn't let us go, he said, "Oh, don't you go out there, you'll fall and hurt yourself." I thought to myself, "Daddy, we're grown, we take care of ourselves." But I looked at my husband and he looked at me and we stayed at home. And that turned out to be a very informative and lovely evening, because my dad told me how he used to work for the circus and how they would get on the train and go from one city to the other and what his duties were with the circus. And of course I knew that he always worked for Roanoke Hardware. And that's about the most that I can remember. My mother worked for a Rathskeller restaurant that used to be on Jefferson Street. And when they closed, she started doing private household work.
Plus she had seven of us. but we were all very happy. It felt loved.
It seems I can recall a few stuff, I can't bring them to mind right now, about Granny's up in Dublin when we were right near, when Granny lived right near the railroad track.
And I don't know any stories.
I don't either, I can't recall them. We thought that was a dark house. That old hall. But it was fun. I can't recall any stories.
Okay, that's okay. Well, you probably have hit on this before, but what is your fondest memory of childhood? The very one that sticks out that you can tell us about right here now without even thinking about it. What is your fondest memory of childhood? You said rolling down the hill, but do you have a...
Probably vacation Bible study.
Okay. Yeah,
that was at First Baptist Church, and we were close to it, so that was no problem getting to it. That would be one, and I guess the very fondest memory would be this library. Coming up here and talking with Mrs. Mitchell and Mrs. Lee.
Okay.
And this was always a place we could come, and I had a vivid imagination, so I loved to read. And I could just see myself floating around the places that I read about. So I think that would be my very, very fondest memory.
Okay.
Well, I just always thought about the Clayton complex, I guess. Dr. J.B. Clayton was there, and he was such a fine doctor. And I can recall that he was just a wonderful person. I always admired him, and they had the drugstore there, and really just whatever you wanted was in that complex. And it was just really nice, and it was a special place for me. I love that drugstore.
Well, I would say one reason why it was so it's so fun is that was our McDonald's. It was a drugstore,
yeah.
And they had the booths there,
mm-hmm.
with the sodas,
yeah.
and the ice cream sodas, and with your little boyfriend or girlfriend, you could go out there and sit in the booth.
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't know what young people talked about, but we talked. And it was fun. And of course, that was right across from the library.
Yeah.
Okay. What chores did you have to do when you were younger?
Oh, I know the one I dreaded was washing those jars for canning. You know, people know that, you know, Mama can. But
what did she can?
Oh, she can.
Cherries.
We had to wash those bottles, those jars. It tastes good in the wintertime, but in the summer it wasn't any fun. We had to wash those bottles. That's what I hated. I don't know what you hated, but I didn't like washing those jars.
I just hate housework, period. I hated washing dishes and pots and pans. I can remember one night I was in there flinging those pots around. My mother said, "Gal, if you don't stop that noise, I'm coming in there and get you." And of course, I stopped the noise. But I hated it. Still hate it.
Oh, describe your house for us. Was it a brick house? Was it a single story house? Or, and did you have a garden outside? And I know you had a front porch, so describe you in detail your house for us.
It's a single story house, wood, with a front porch. We had a back porch. At the beginning, we did not have an indoor bathroom. Our bathroom was outside. I forget what you call them now. But
outhouse.
It was an outhouse. But eventually, we did get a bathroom with tub, shower, commode, sink, and so forth. And when that was done, we enclosed the back porch. Before it was enclosed, no, that happened after it was enclosed. We had a coal stove in the kitchen, a dining room, and a bedroom. Then we had a hallway, a bedroom on one side, and a living room on the other. Now,
the living room was used for a bedroom.
Yeah. With all the children, you can imagine how it was. But with me being the youngest, I had a cart out on the back porch, and I just loved it. I had my own little room. It was an army cart. And I just loved it. We talked about it not long ago. Mm-hmm. And then there was the kitchen, and we had a basement, mm-hmm, where coal was stored, and Mama stored her canned goods down there.
It was a trap door in the kitchen. We mm-hmm raised the trap door up and go down to the basement.
Right. Mm-hmm. And outside, we had two cherry trees in the yard. We had the Black Hearts on one side, and the tiny pink
Sweethearts
on the other side.
And I had a grape arbor.
Yeah.
And a peach tree in the back.
Right. And strawberry patch. Mm-hmm. We had all of that. Mm-hmm. And it was so good.
It sure was.
Did you say grapevine?
Yeah, grape arbor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you can food from each of those trees for the winter?
Mama did, yeah. That's why I had to wash those jars.
I don't recall washing any jars.
That was my job.
I must have been too small.
That was my job. Oh, boy.
And we did can. They did can. I enjoyed it. Eating it.
Mm-hmm. It was nice in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you live there?
I lived there until I went to college.
Okay.
And so that would have been, 18 years?
Okay.
18 years. Oh, I'll tell you one thing I remember. It was during the winter, and it snowed. Childlike, I got a piece of cardboard, and I went from the steps to the sidewalk. It's a pretty good distance. And it was slippery. I was having fun. My father came home, and he slipped on it. Next thing I knew, he had ashes all over my playground. But I didn't dare say a word. Yeah, that was fun.
Okay, how has Gainsboro changed over the years? And that's going to take a little while.
You don't even want to hear that, Ms. Lewis.
I would love
no, you don't.
To hear how some of it has changed over the years, yes.
This is a new millennium, and it seems like City of Roanoke doesn't appreciate the Black history. I mean, as we say, back in those days when we were coming up, we were close, neighbors were close and everything, and you know, we knew each other, we could go this place or go that place, but we lost our connectivity. And most cities realize what urban renewal has done and are being more sensitive to the Black communities, but here in Roanoke, they just want to take.
Roanoke has changed, and from where I can sit, it has not been for the better, because they have built roads indiscriminately, and roads destroy a community. Just like here in Gainesboro, this Gainesboro road widening has just destroyed our neighborhood, because it has cut us off from our neighbors to the west. We have steps that older people have difficulty negotiating. For the children and older folks coming to this library, the traffic makes it inconvenient for them to get over here, and they do not have any indication that there's a library close by, or that seniors and children are trying to get across the street. We mentioned it when we were working with the Gainesboro Steering Committee, but it hasn't been done yet. They do not have benches over there for our older people to sit in, or our young people with children who are waiting for the bus. I saw a young lady not long ago sitting on the curb, and that's exceptionally dangerous, waiting for the bus. So this area has changed negatively, bringing the road, realigning Wells Avenue, did a great deal to disconnect our community.
And another thing that's is so disheartening, we all know the history of Northeast. They closed Gilmer School, Gainesboro, Harrison, Loudoun, and Melrose. And when you strip a community of your schools, that's so bad. And here and now they're talking about they may want to close a couple more in Northwest. So schools are a part of a community, and when you close schools like that, it sends a message to, you know, that you don't care, and then to even think that they would think about doing it again.
That's true.
And we lost our churches and homes and businesses and everything. And then to add insult to injury, to think that they would want to come up on Henry Street, the last tiny block that we have left of our history, where the Burrell Hospital started, the Black doctors worked so hard up there because we couldn't go to the white hospitals. Started on Henry Street, there's rich history up there. And now they're talking about putting a Social Security building up there on that last tiny block. Most cities are trying to be more sensitive to what has happened in the past. People keep saying, forget the past, forget the past. You learn from the past, and you improve. It's just like you have a record. If you want to apply for a house, first thing they can do is check your record. If you ain't got no good credit, you ain't gonna get no house. You're not gonna get a house. So when we look back at Roanoke, the way it's treated, it has treated its African-American citizens, is they have a failing rate, and they're continuing to do the same thing. We met here for, was it a year or two, Gainesboro Steering Committee?
Yes.
We couldn't even get the benches. We couldn't beautify. We couldn't get any. Just sometimes, and people say, well, you don't come to meetings. They come because they hear all of this good stuff, and nothing ever becomes of it. We wanted a play area. It's lots of kids here in Gainesboro. You see them just rolling off the buses all over. Gainesboro Southwest organization worked hard with tech, students from tech, police officers, and city officials, some of them. And it was just a play area for the small children, say from 6 to maybe 10, or I don't know what the ages were. It was all set to go. Thumbs down. See, we can't get anything. And you come to meetings, and I ain't even going to the meeting because I ain't going to do nothing. I said, well, we got to keep going because we got to let them know we're there. But it's so disheartening. You know, it really is so around us.
It's changed, and it's on a downward spiral. Anytime your education system is in the decline our system is in, how are you going to build? How are you going to build your community when you don't educate your youth? Your youth, and they have, as it seems that they have as their priority, putting a hotel on Mill Mountain. Now, how many citizens are going to use a hotel on Mill Mountain? And how many citizens have asked for it? We had petitions from citizens to save Victory Stadium. They didn't do it, and now they don't know what they're going to do with the land out there. So Roanoke lacks good, solid, honest leadership. And I don't see it. And another thing, talking about Gainesboro specifically, the neighborhood did not want that new house in the 300 block of Gilmer Avenue Northwest, but it was put in there anyway. So whenever we have opinions, they just walk all over us as if to say, you don't count. Don't even come down here and bother me. We're going to do what we want to do. I listen to you because I have to, but I'm really not listening. My ears are closed. Remember that old song, what's that you say? I've got beans in my ear. They've got beans in their ears because they're not listening. They don't want to listen. And they don't realize that we work. We pay taxes, probably more than the wealthy. We pay taxes. We have property. We keep it up. We would like some assistance from the city. The city came in and tore our community to pieces. Just to pieces. Got rid of the businesses, the schools, the churches, the homes. Now, if they want to rebuild this area, which I doubt, they could come in and say, look, you get together, tell us what kind of businesses you want. We're not going to build them for you, but we will assist you in locating some businesses to come in. We will put out requests for proposals and see who we can get to come in and build and work with you. Hasn't happened. It happened when they wanted to put that Wells Avenue alignment there. They brought everybody together and they had plans of making cul-de-sacs and everything. But it didn't work out that way because the citizens said, no, we don't want that. We don't want you to close off our streets. But they kept working and working and working. They eventually got city council sitting up there like, I'm going to say, approving the plans to close the streets. Same difference. When you close a street, you are eliminating a line of communication and a feeling of togetherness. If you have a one-way street, you don't have any togetherness. And that's what this community overall lacks, not just in the black community, but in the white community too. The difference is in the white community, most of them have money and they get things done. But over here, we have little money, but it should not depend upon your wealth. A city is for all people.
The struggle continues because on Henry Street, in its heyday, it was whites and blacks.
Yeah.
Whites and blacks. And when people say, forget the past, that we need something to record our history so it will be there. And we need to let them know about our doctors and what they did. And we're not saying, we definitely don't want that Social Security building up there. The land sat there. Our people went to court to try to save that land because it was theirs, and they said no. It was that took. They went to court and they lost it. They sat on that property for I don't know how many years, and then they come up with this. What we're saying now is open that plot of land up there and have a request for a proposal, black or white. Put something up there that blends with the Dumas Artistic Guild, the Culinary School, and Higher Education Center. We don't need that Social Security building up there. And the struggle, it goes on and on. We had to fight so hard. They had made plans to give Washington Park over to the Catholic Church, and our kids could not play in prime time like they had always been doing. Well, that's one battle. We did win that one. So, you know, it continues, and it just goes. Just when we think they've done all they can do, they pop up with something else. Methadone clinic. County didn't want it. We didn't want it up there right next to Dr. Shadrach Brown Church and a community center that he's trying to build. But they did it. So you see, it's just when you think they can't do no more, they keep doing things. And it is so wrong.
Ms. Davis, elaborate a little bit on the businesses in this Bethel on Henry Street when you were growing up. Can you tell us about all of the different kinds of businesses in that area? Now you see that they're trying to build the Social Security building there. What was there? Can you give us a general idea of all of the businesses and the places that you all visited?
They had the Star City Auditorium, which was a place that had the bands and dances and things. It was real nice. And they had a grocery store on the corner of Wells, and I guess it would be Henry Street,
right.
Weeby's. They had the 308 Club, which was real nice. We'd go up and it was just real nice. You had your drinks or special parties or something. And then we went down the street, we had Palace Hotel. And we had Nick's, and he
Atlantic.
Was Greek. I think it was he Greek?
I think so.
His
Atlantic Sandwich Shop.
Yeah, and we had, of course, the Dumas Hotel. And it had
that was a ice cream parlor, wasn't it? Jack and Jill's ice cream parlor.
Yeah, but they still had
it was still in the Dumas Hotel.
We had a record shop up there. We had Dr. Penn's drugstore. I called it his drugstore. We had two drugstores up there. Mr. Brooks and Dr. Penn. And we had a Virginia Theater. And we had the Morocco Club, which was later changed to the Ebony Club.
The donut shop. How can you forget
donut
the donut shop?
I thought of that right away. Dr. Brooks had that little cozy little booth in the back, and I remember I used to love cherry cokes, and I would always sit back there with my husband, you know, and whisper sweet nothings. And it was nice, and you know, we had dances, and we had everything.
There was a car repair shop to the west of the Virginia Theater. Remember that family? It was three boys. and they always dressed alike, and it was like little stair steps.
Yes, that I remember. Oh, I could.
And they went to the Catholic Church.
I bet Al Harlan would know that name.
I bet he would too. I don't remember.
The Ragsdales out of there. Mm. The Ragsdales.
No, they don't.
It was a barbershop up there too.
And the shoe shop. Did Mr. Green have his shoe shop up early, or was that just later on?
That was later, I think. The shoe shop was later.
Yeah,
the shoe repair shop.
Kaiser. No, it was a shoe shop up there. Yeah. It was a shoe shop up there. Mm-hmm. It just had every, and it was just bustling with activity. And of course, as they like to say that it was nice up there. It was in the later years when it started to deteriorate, you know. But the people wouldn't bother you, and the men would always tip the hats to the ladies, you know. We don't see that anymore. And it was just nice. And I remember a girlfriend of mine, she lived down in Northeast Island. You probably remember the Powell family lived across the street from that fire station down there. Mm-hmm. And she would walk home after, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night with her friends, you know, and nobody would bother you. And of course, they had the Undertaker Palace down there, and I could see that fire station in my mind now. And it was just nice.
Mr. Hotzona?
It was a community.
Mm-hmm. Even
equal to the Grand Inquiry.
It was. Mm-hmm. It really was. Mm-hmm. And a part of Henry Street is Jordan's Alley, or Jordan's mm-hmm. Alley, mm-hmm. where people lived back there too, mm-hmm. off of Henry Street.
And they had a restaurant here on the corner of the Harrison, and I think it was Dewdrop Inn was the name of it. And then later, you know, we had the Foster Film Home there.
I thought Dewdrop Inn was on Gilman and Henry Street.
It was a restaurant there. I think it was Dewdrop Inn.
Oh, okay.
And then it had another lady down here that ran a sandwich shop. I forget her name. And we had that complex with all those doctors in it on the corner. See, they tore that down. Uh-huh. It's sad history.
That's how Greensboro has changed. And we hope we hope that it's on the upswing now. I have often asked people when I meet them, why don't you move to Greensboro? They don't give an answer, but I can see their faces. But every community has to start somewhere. And if we could get most of our young black professionals and white professionals to move to this area, it would be a diamond. It would be a diamond in the rough.
Tell me about her husband.
Yeah, most people want to wait until something is complete before they move in. But I would rather be in on the beginning and help build it and then look back and see how complete it is. We have a couple of friends who have bought lots on Gilmer Avenue. They want to build. And man, that would be a very, very expensive house, over $200,000. Mm-hmm. But they haven't built because the property on Gilmer Avenue is standing, is deteriorating, and the owner will not fix it. We have taken the owner to court, and they only fined him $200. That was about a year ago. The house is still standing, dilapidated. The city claims it can't do anything to make him tear the house down or fix it up. So the people who bought the property refuse rightfully to build until that shack is removed.
And they want to build.
And they are anxious to build.
They left Jefferson Aiden in the county, but they got that piece of property over mm-hmm. there, and they're waiting for that house to be.
Right. They were living in Jefferson Aiden before they bought the property. But the city won't do anything to help us. We had a business we met in this library, We had a couple of people who wanted to buy the car wash area down there. The city sent them over to tell them to talk to the neighborhood.
We had a meeting right
there. They explained their plan to us, and the neighborhood approved it. When they went back to the city and told the city the neighbors were in favor of it, the city told them, we want the property. So the city turned around and bought the property.
Mm-hmm. Is that not what happened on Henry Street?
That's right.
Not what happened on any property.
Right.
That anyone in the black community has the gall to say, I want to put a business or a home here.
Right.
Yeah, and you see what.
So why can't they use that same power and get rid of that house?
They wouldn't have it in South Roanoke.
No,
they wouldn't have that house. Would be gone. And then they talk about. They're not using common sense, because with all of the positive things, we know they can't undo the past. We know that. But you improve and you make the future brighter. Now, with all the positive things, and the Dumas Artistic Auditorium is very nice. It's very nice. We've been there several times. Higher Education Center and the Culinary School that's to come. Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge is supposed to be coming. Now, if that bridge is finally done, and it's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s bridge, why in the name of heavens would you put a huge, that's going to take up the whole block of a Social Security building? That's poor planning. You don't do things like that. And to come in on last block of our history, after we've suffered all this much in Northeast, Northwest, and they still keep at it. It doesn't make sense.
The building is oversized.
Yes.
Inappropriate in design. It's like trying to fit a size 14 into a size 10, really. Plus, because of the security requirements, the community won't be able to use the first floor. So, see, you see, all of these things are going on, and when we mention the past, we're told, oh, forget about the past. But when people talk about the Wiener Stand, oh, that's nostalgia. Oh, that's nostalgia. We love the Wiener Stand. That's nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the difference between nostalgia and the past? Now, what is the difference?
They don't think.
And they think, I told one city employee when they were discussing that Social Security building, I said, you know what? I say, the city thinks we are fools and that we don't have any sense at all. He took exception to it. I don't think you're a fool. I said, I didn't say you thought we were fools. I said, the city, the administration, everybody. No, I don't feel that way. I work for the city, blah, blah, blah. He was taking up for him. I said, and you should take up for him because you work for him. But I still say they think we're fools. I don't think I've seen him but two or three times since then. But Roanoke has changed. It has changed. And they don't like to hear the word racist. But if you look
at
the record, one person at City Council told them, one side looking like heaven and the other side looking like hell.
That's what he said. And is it true?
You look at the south side and you look at the north side.
No amenities.
So, in order to correct a problem, you must first admit that there is a problem. Even with the park study, Northwest is grossly misrepresented. The only park I think we have of significance is George Washington Park. I mean, not George Washington, Booker T. Washington.
Yeah.
Get away from here, George.
It's Booker T. Washington Park.
We had to fight to keep it away from the big white establishment.
And Roanoke Catholic.
And Roanoke Catholic. So we had a committee approved by Darlene Burcham to work on Washington Park, and we worked on that committee for over a year, diligently. We came up with a comprehensive plan for Washington Park. We asked, come on, when are you going to have the community meeting to show people what we've come up with?
Because they were at the first meeting, the kids.
The kids came, the seniors came, everybody came from all across town about the first meeting for Washington Park. Haven't heard a thing about it. They will not host a community meeting. Now, why they won't do it is beyond me. Darlene looked at the plan. She said it was a good plan. That's as far as it got. And Washington Park is significant to this community for many reasons. But one is that during the time of segregation, we had black people coming from Lynchburg, Bedford, and everywhere else to go to Washington Park. Washington Park had a swimming pool. They came by and got rid of that with the new Orange Avenue thing. Moved the pool up there near the dump site. A friend has told us that that dump is leaking, that it shouldn't be up there, that that pool is contaminated. I do not know that for a fact. But you see, then after the Washington Park Committee, we heard that the city wanted to put in a water park. You know those parks where they wanted to put that over at Washington Park. But we haven't heard a thing about that since either. So people volunteer and they work, they put in their time. And as far as I know, I don't know any volunteer who has received any type of stipend from the city.
And adding to this, Evelyn, the setup was after Darlene had approved it, the plan that we had worked on, she was to come back to the community at large and present it to them. She went to city council and got permission. We didn't used to have to do this. Seems like we're moving backwards instead of forwards. Councilman Wishniff and Councilman Lee said, yes, we recommend that you come to city council and give a report. She had requested that she be on the agenda because it would take more than 3 minutes or 5 minutes to present the what she wanted to tell city council about it. Well, when the deal went down, it went to the mayor, and he didn't know what was going on, and he called Darlene, and then one of the park workers called Alvin. Did you call Miss Burcham? She said, no, I didn't call Miss Burcham. I'm just trying to get on the agenda. She was denied.
That's right.
So, so they can always find something to come over here and just continue. I don't know what they're going to have planned next. But that Social Security bill, we're still trying to stop it because it's wrong.
It's got to go. Especially when they have so many other places they can put it. Orange Avenue, where they had a plan to put the stadium. They have plenty of parking. It's already graded. It's already owned by the city. They have Reserve Avenue site, which they have lots of land. First they said they were going to put soccer fields, and now they're talking about putting a waterway where people can use a kayak or whatever. They don't know what to do with it. But they insist so far I'm putting it, the Social Security building on Henry Street.
And add insult to injury, putting those little...
Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you that. They propose, if the building goes up, they will have a sidewalk museum. And that will consist of the little statues, like you see in the shopping malls, of prominent people in the area. And, oh no, oh, they're very durable. They're not flimsy, they're very durable. Plus, they will have an indention in the building, and they will have some things inside the building that people can look at as part of our history.
And that's supposed to be a Social Security building. And we're supposed to jump approve of that. That's an insult. That's an insult.
I told them I didn't like the idea. And most people in the meeting did not like the idea. But all they need is one person to like it, and they run with it. But
it's been a struggle.
And plus, they said they would get the money from the city to do that stuff. So now you know how far that would go.
And they don't have money to buy our kids school books, but they're going to come on
make
with some junk like that.
Right.
So, I mean,
you must have your priorities.
They don't have the priorities right, because looking at the city as a whole, the first thing you do is you educate your children. And you pay teachers, and you go from that. You all of this other stuff they're talking about, it's secondary. And I saw on there, did you see the news last night where they cut the $7,000 fund from William Fleming? There, what's the proper word for that? Where they
their
have
arts,
the
arts.
Their arts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not.
Kids are big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. So. We have our priorities wrong, and it's a lack of leadership. There's so many things gone wrong in the city, and we have taken and continue for over 40 years economic development, and this city has been born on black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to stop. Right now.
53 years.
53, okay.
Okay.
And
time for it to stop.
Where did you go to elementary school?
Gainsboro.
Okay.
Gainsboro School.
Ms. Davis.
Gainsboro.
They had pot belly stoves in there.
Sure did.
And I don't know who made the fires, I guess the young men or the teacher, but they had pot belly stoves in there. I don't ever remember getting cold. I remember the teacher telling me, if you don't know how to spell a word, look up in the dictionary. I said to myself, how can I find it in the dictionary if I don't know how to spell it? Myself went back there and found it. It was fun. I remember we had fire drills, and we would run down those old wooden steps and run out in the yard, and we would stand there and do that Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, and we believed it, too. Oh, we believed it. I pledge allegiance.
And you know what's it just turned your stomach. Roanoke is celebrating their 125th.
Mm-hmm.
Down at the Civic Center. We had a beautiful church down there, Mount Zion AME, brand new church. And you know,
homes, businesses,
homes, and all of that stuff down there—that was our homes and businesses—and they just burned them. Have you seen the
looking back
on Channel 9? It's going to be on tonight at 5:30, and again at 10 tonight. So watch it.
You need to see that.
It breaks your heart.
They burn our homes just like they were trash. I didn't know they burned them. I knew they, you know, knocked them over. But when I saw the burning, I said, this reminds me of Germany, Nazi Germany, when Hitler burned all the books. That's what it reminded me of. I felt so bad.
It was beautiful down there. I remember it.
I remember some of it.
And they took a picture before and after and they took it up to JFK Center in mm-hmm, D.C. Mm-hmm. And they say when they showed it, the audience just gasped. They couldn't believe it. What was there before and afterwards. Mm-hmm. And most cities are being more sensitive to black neighborhoods, but we seem to want to keep on going.
I think I'll get a black armband and go down there tomorrow.
Evelyn told me, she said, we ought to go down there.
And just walk up and first of all, then they'll put me in jail. But that'll be all right too. Just walk up and down the street with a black armband.
That's what she told.
What's a black armband for? Would you really like to know? I can tell you.
I guess they said Miss Bethel, Miss Davis is gone crazy. That's what she said. She said, we ought to go down there.
I'm serious. So if you hear about me being in jail, you know why.
Ms. Bethel, when you all were going to elementary school, did you walk or did your father take you or did you ride in a car? How did you get to school?
We walked.
Okay. Did it snow?
Our Lady Valley was a hill, nothing there, and we walked from our home at 19th Patton, about 3/4 down the block from Jefferson Street, and we walked from there to Gainesboro, and I think I spent 1 year at Harrison. We walked. We did not have a family car. And no matter how much snow was on the ground,
we had to go to school.
We had to go to school. There was no such thing as a snow day. We didn't know what a snow day was.
We walked to Addison, Gainesboro, and Harrison.
Yeah, we walked. And sometimes, we didn't have boots. We had shoes. And we had shoes that had cardboard in them.
That's
so
right. But we went to school.
But we went to school.
No snow days.
No snow days.
Okay.
And the schools were warm.
Do you remember the closing of the silk mills?
No, I don't.
I do.
Okay, you do?
I remember reading about it.
Okay, okay. And what jobs were available for African Americans during the time when you were coming up?
Well, a lot of the men worked for Norfolk and Weston, and they were cab drivers and
hardware drivers.
Yeah. And then they had black businesses, you know. Mr. Hazona had that beautiful tailor shop down there, and we had morticians and just about everything.
Mr. Bean had his electric shop.
Yeah, right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a lot of businesses.
And there were groceries on Gainesboro Road.
And Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Street.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had their businesses.
Who were some of the leaders during the time when you were coming up? What did you consider a leader?
Dr. Harry Penn and Attorney Reuben Lawson and Reverend, what was the minister?
James.
Reverend James and the one at Hill Street, Reverend Wilkerson.
Reverend Powell. P-O-W-E-L-L.
Well, I didn't know too much about him, but Reverend Wilkerson and Reverend Green, Reverend Charles Green. And
we had photographers and newspapers too,
yeah.
as businesses,
yeah,
that black folk worked in. Thank you. Okay. Grocery store.
And we had the Tribune.
Mr. Clark, the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
His number was still listed as early as what? As late as 2 years ago, mm-hmm, when Jackie called.
Yeah, she found it. She said, "Mama." I said, "Jackie, that's an old number." She said, "Well, it's in the phone book."
Have we omitted anything that you all would like to tell us that happened during childhood? I know the way you spoke about it, it was a pleasure to be living and growing up in the time that you did. Is there anything that we neglected to ask? Urban renewal you hit on, the military.
Urban renewal. Oh, speaking of the military, during that time, I guess it was World War II, if you had
someone in the military, you had a little flag and it had a star in it. And the star would represent the numbers of people in your family that were serving in the military. And at one time we had three, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We had three stars on that flag because I had three brothers in the military. I don't know if we still have that flag. Big Ed might still have it. I don't know if we still have that flag or not, but that was something that was done. And I can remember my daddy serving as a warden, I guess that's what you call him. Mm-hmm. And he would walk the neighborhood and make sure that nobody's light was on and nobody was smoking a cigarette. Because he said no matter if it were just a flick of light from a cigarette, the enemy would be able to see it. So I can remember that. I can also remember the day the war started, because my girlfriend, Mary Ann Blake, and I were walking across Peach Hill, I guess it was, and we heard all this noise, extra, extra, read all about it. We say, what is he yelling about? And of course, we did not understand the significance of it, being children. But I will always remember that. Extra. They don't do that now. CNN comes on with, what do they call it?
Breaking news.
Developing story. But that added something to a neighborhood that this whole country is lacking now. And children get on a bus, they go to their school, they stay there, they come home. They don't have a chance to develop a love for the neighborhood because they're gone all day, and when they come home, they're either doing their homework, or they should be, or they're sitting in front of a computer. I think this country is losing its sense of connectivity and concern for others. And it's so sad. I was speaking with a man last night, and I was telling him when I got the information about the election, I would bring it to him or send it to him. He said, oh, that's all right. Do they have a website? I said, yes, they have a website. I'll get on the website and do it. Well, getting on a website is not the same as face-to-face communication. It really is not. Getting on a cell phone, somebody told me, some people have a cell phone rather than a land phone. I said, yes, they do. I thought to myself, when I'm out, I don't want to be bothered by anybody calling me. Call me at home. If I'm not there, leave a message. If you don't leave a message, keep calling till I'm home. Then you go out. The other day we were walking and somebody said something. We looked, we thought they were talking to us. They were talking on cell phone, talking so loud. You know, this country, this city, has got to stop and give people time to think. We've got to have time to think and discard the bad information and keep the good. But as long as you're on that cell phone or the computers, the little kids playing on the computers, they might think I'm saying that because I don't have one, but computers are nice. They can do a lot. But there is nothing to compare to the human mind. When we were small, we made up games, had a little tiddlywinks and stuff, but our minds were creative. And now, with the computer, you're doing what somebody else has created. You don't have time to sit down and think of something different. So, Roanoke City has got to stop and find a leader, black, white, man or woman, or child, that's going to say, look here, we have got to do better in this city. We're losing population. Every year it goes down. And then they give a park report that's based on the city's estimation that in 2010 we will have gained about 5,000 more people. Mm-hmm. Well, how are they going to gain the people? You want young people. They're not coming if the school system is no good, if the library system is no good. All of them can't come to Gainsborough Library.
I want you to elaborate on Gainsborough Library, because you were instrumental in getting it declared a historic site. So I want you to elaborate on that part before you close out, please.
Yeah, they were talking about tearing it down one time.
Yeah, they were talking about tearing this library down at one time.
Fight.
And we said, oh, no, not Gainsborough Library. This library has been a pillar of our community. Let's see, I'm 73. For at least 60-some years, at least. And I think we've only had three librarians, right? Right, Ms. Lewis, Ms. Lee, and Ms. Mitchell. So you see, it's stability. It's a genuine concern for people. There was an article in the paper several weeks ago about how the teenagers were acting up in one library. I forgot where it was, but it wasn't Gainsborough. I said, they need to come up here to Gainsborough.
They were teenagers, too.
Yeah, they were teenagers. They should come up here to Gainsborough and write an article about how well disciplined the children are when they come in this library. Had the children that they highlighted in that article been up here at Gainsborough, they would have said, tear it down. Tear it down is no good. They don't know how to act. They would. They wrote one article, and these were teenagers, mm-hmm. as you said, going in, acting up in the library. But the teenagers come to this library, know how to act. And as sweet as Miss Lewis sounds, with that nice voice and lovely smile, they know they better do right.
And pull the pants up, too.
And pull the pants up, too. She won't let them in here with those baggy pants. So you see, in more ways than one, this library is one reason Gainsborough is still here as a community. Mm-hmm. It pulls people together, those who live in the area and those who live outside the area. It pulls people when they come visit to the area, they come back, let me go see what the library is doing. And they walk in and they say, well, it looks the same. They're so proud. It looks the same. So, Ms. Lewis, I don't know what else I can say about this library, except it should be here forever, mm-hmm. and you should too. as one lady told us in church about her grandson, he said, "Granny, I want you to be here and raise my children." And she said, "Honey, I've got to get out of here."
He was serious.
He was serious, too. He wanted his grandmother to stay there.
She said, I'm going to be here. I got to get out of here one day.
So that's why Miss Lewis is. She wished she could stay, but she got to get out of here one day.
It was in danger of being gone.
Mm-hmm.
From
mm-hmm.
finding with Ellen's leadership, we worked. We went to Richmond and talked, and they were in favor of keeping it. And, but it was on a... They wanted it, but it didn't happen.
And thanks to you two, we are now a historic library. And these two ladies were instrumental in doing all of the work that got us on the map. And I am just thankful.
Let me tell you, we put in for that historic designation, right? And about a year later, we still had not heard anything.
We were at City Council, and they mentioned that Hotel Roanoke was getting its historic designation. I stood up. Bob Herbert was mayor then.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do you have different procedures for different institutions? I said, now Hotel Roanoke applied maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, and it already has its designation for historic recognition. I said, we put in for Gainsborough Library about a year ago, and we haven't heard a thing about it. So are there different timelines? I forgot what his answer was, but within the next month, we had our historic designation. So you see, those are the kinds of small things that we have to be alert to and fight against and try to see if the playing ground isn't level as it can be. And speaking of that, with the Social Security Office, they had certain procedures that they should have followed with consulting parties. Section 106. Did they do it?
No.
We wrote, several people in the community asked to be a consulting party, and they agreed to it. So we became consulting parties. But the decision and everything had already been made when we became consulting parties. The city and Harwood don't want to respond to the fact that they did all of that before checking with the community. We are fighting them, and we explain to them that Section 106 was put in to prevent just what Roanoke City did with the Social Security Office.
And if they hadn't been called on it,
it would have been gone. Would have been built. So, you see, those kinds of things we have to be mindful about. And if we just had missed that city council meeting that day, we wouldn't have known about it.
Mm-mm.
But we go with the fact of all of them.
We have to, because we can't trust them. We just have to be there, because they can do some things at 9 o'clock session, which is off camera. And they got the beautiful chamber. They could go upstairs, but they do it downstairs off camera. So, you know, you just never know what they're going to come up with.
Okay. Arlene Ollie, would you like to ask any more questions? You had some comments during the interview, and I appreciate you being here. Would you like to say a few words or ask a question?
No, I think I pretty much did that with my notes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the things that you said. I stay in trouble constantly with this mouth, and I'm about to take on a new plan so that I'm sure I'll be in more trouble, but see, I'm okay. I don't have a job. They've kept me from working most of my adult life. And now I'm disabled, so I get a Social Security check. So they can't take that. The only thing I have left is my life, so be that as it will, we're all here for a purpose. This may be mine. So I do appreciate the history that you've added. We need more of this, because what I intend to do, I don't know if anybody will pay any attention to it or not, is to try to write this by putting it in focus for people to understand that each time a new disappointment comes, we got history to base this on.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the Social Security building now, but in 1954, with the Commonwealth Project in Northeast, it was about replacing a neighborhood. You see any cars and houses down there at the Civic Center, Magic City, Ford, Sheets? Where are the homes?
Right.
So Roanoke City has always gotten away with doing whatever it chooses, however it chooses, no matter what the black community says. So it's up to the black community to stop relying on Roanoke City.
I agree.
We need to learn to take care of each other, respect each other's property, help one another, and try to stay abreast of what they're doing so that we can beat them to the punch.
That's
the only way we're gonna make it. They have proven in 53 years that no matter what we say, how many of us say it, how reasonable it is, how well thought out it is, they're going to do it.
That's true.
So, like I said, I appreciate this because in the future, someone can come down and listen to this and think, they said that when?
Exactly.
So thank you very much. Again.
Well, may I say just one thing? The consultant who gave the report about the parks gave our city a very low score. But what astonished me was he said he was here 7 years ago and gave a report about the parks. And nothing has been done in 7 years. One man in the audience said he had been away from Roanoke and come back 3 times, and nothing has been done. So this is why we're saying Roanoke doesn't have any leadership. And what you say is very true. Today is the Social Security office. Tomorrow might be Eureka Paul. I don't know. We just have to keep watching. Get our black armband together.
Thank you.